This podcast is for informational purposes only. Information relating to investment approaches or individual investments should not be construed as advice or endorsement. Listeners should seek professional advice for their situation.
During the Great Depression, the United States was grappling with widespread unemployment and a severe reduction in consumer spending. To combat this, President Franklin D. Roosevelt introduced the New Deal, a sweeping set of projects and programs designed to jumpstart the stalled economy. A crucial element of the New Deal was the Works Progress Administration, or WPA, a program that directly employed millions of people in a range of public works projects. Through the WPA, every dollar the government spent as wages started a cycle. The workers earned dollars that they then spent on goods and services. Now, a dollar spent doesn't just vanish. It reappears as someone else's income. This income, when spent, fills another's pocket, perpetuating a chain of earnings and spending. This cycle amplifies the effect of each dollar spent, generating total economic activity that exceeds the initial government expenditure. In fact, recent research tells us that for every dollar spent in a government program, it creates $1.4 of economic output. Now, the New Deal illustrated the power of consumer spending in stimulating economic growth. It's an example of how each dollar spent can trigger a chain reaction, circulating and recirculating within the economy, creating ongoing ripples of economic activity. The consumer is a driving force of the world's leading economy. Consumer behavior directly shapes financial trends and markets. With consumption making up approximately 70% of the US GDP, a slight change in spending habits can have a significant impact. Today, we will delve into the current state of the consumer and evaluate what spending levels might tell us about the state of the economy. I'm Philip Peterson, Chief Investment Strategist at IG Wealth Management. Join me each week as we discuss the trends dominating the investment landscape. It's the week of June 12th, so listen on as we navigate the living market. It's frequently reported that U.S. consumers currently shoulder an all-time high in credit card debt, alongside near-record low savings rates. This is undoubtedly a concerning trend. However, when we examine the data closely, an intriguing picture emerges. As at the end of May, total credit card debt balance in America stood at an impressive $1 trillion. This is slightly above the pre-COVID level of December 2019, where credit card debt stood at $920 billion. So we've seen an 8% increase that puts us at an all-time high. Meanwhile, the savings rate as a percentage of disposable income remains quite low. Now, it has ticked up modestly from its recent low of 3.4% to currently stand at 4.2%, but this is still much lower than the pre-COVID averages. In 2019, the savings rate stood at 8.5%. In 2020, as a result of the lockdowns, savings surged to 16.6%, peaking at over 20% in the second quarter. At this time, total savings were at an all-time high of 4.8 trillion US, according to the St. Louis Fed. Presently, total savings have fallen to about 830 billion. Now, on the surface, total savings appear to be in balance with credit card debt, suggesting that the two are even. Yet, as intuition might suggest, those with the credit card debt balances and those with the savings are not the same individuals, a fact confirmed in a recent Bank of America study. Moreover, the San Francisco Fed noted that the rate at which excess savings are being depleted is accelerating, predicting the U.S. consumer will exhaust all COVID excess savings by the fourth quarter of 2023. In Canada, consumers grapple with a different challenge, that is rising interest rates. And we've talked about this before. Americans have the benefit of their 30-year fixed rate mortgages that won't effectively come up for renewal if they decide to hold on to it. And they have easy refinancing options and enjoy cheap tax-deductible mortgages. This is not the case for many Canadians. At present, only about a third of existing mortgages have been impacted under the current interest rate regime, whether that be through variable rate adjustments or renewing fixed terms. Each time a Canadian household's mortgage renews at today's higher interest rates, it redirects hundreds, if not thousands of dollars per month away from the economy to interest expense. While this appears to benefit the banks, they also face mounting pressures from a weakening consumer base and tighter credit. So the picture for the Canadian consumer is less desirable than our American counterparts when considering real estate prices and mortgage rates. That being said, there are bright spots for the consumer. Hotels and airlines report strong booking numbers and robust demand. The labor market remains tight, wage growth is strong, especially for those switching jobs, and unemployment rates are exceptionally low. So the economic ball continues to roll forward. Yet we cannot overlook the substantial challenges that lie ahead. The threat of a recession is still difficult to sidestep, regardless of the stock market's current optimism. Should the economy weaken, and if the labor market remains as strong as it currently is, a likely scenario given demographic trends, then the soft landing scenario may yet play out. However, the interest rate burden on the consumer is something that we need to pay close attention to. So, all in, from a risk management perspective, our view remains the same. Select quality, pay attention to valuation, and respect diversification. I'm Philip Peterson, and this has been The Living Market. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to rate it or share it with colleagues and friends. It will help other like-minded individuals find us. Thanks for listening.
The content of this podcast, including facts, views, opinions, and recommendations, is not to be used or construed as investment advice and is not an offer or an invitation to buy or sell any security. The content of this podcast should not be relied upon for any purpose, and IG Wealth Management is not responsible for any reliance upon it. This podcast includes forward-looking information that reflects our current expectations or forecasts of future events. Forward-looking information is subject to risks, uncertainties, and assumptions that could cause actual results to differ materially from expressed herein. Our views are subject to change based on market conditions. Commissions, fees, and expenses may be associated with mutual fund investments. Read the prospectus before investing. Mutual funds are not guaranteed, values change frequently, and past performance may not be repeated.